Hey, wasn't the worship team amazing? You all don't realize how blessed we are, right? Or do you? I was just beside myself and I keep crying. I'm like, stop making me cry. It's a good thing. Tears are a good thing. All right, I've got a funny story. Are you ready? I've just been trying to give you some funny stories because some of you look grumpy. All right, here we go. There were two boys, and they were walking home from Sunday school. This is just one random Sunday. And they had heard a very intense teaching on Satan in their Sunday school class. So one boy looked over at the other and said, "Hey, what do you think about all that devil stuff?" The other boy shrugged his shoulders and said, "I don't know. You remember Santa Claus, don't you?" He goes, "Yeah." He said, "Well, it turned out to just be your dad. Maybe the devil's the same guy." Anyway. We want to represent Christ, right? We don't want to represent the enemy to our children. We want them to know that there's Jesus inside. We are Jesus with flesh on, and no doubt about it. Hey, I want to share with you a couple of insights from Psalm 91 and verse 1. Do you have a few more minutes before we take off? Okay. Let's read it together. Are you ready? Yeah. "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." We're going to try it again because some of you just caught up and went, "Oh, he wants us to read it out loud." By the way, Pastor Dominic's message last Sunday was one of the best I've ever heard him preach. You give it up. I mean, really, Pastor Dominic, it was amazing. Managing your freedom, not managing your sin. It was just, if you didn't get to hear that, get online and get a copy of it. It'll change your life. All right, you ready? Let's do it again, nice and loud. Ready? "He who dwells in the secret place, the Most High, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." Now look at someone next to you and say, "I'm going to the secret place." Come on, look at somebody and tell them, "I'm going to the secret place." Now understand something in the scripture. To dwell is to create a habitation. To dwell is to create a habitation. And a habitation is where habit, tendency, and practice is formulated. That's really important for us to get. A habitation is where you dwell. So he who has a habitation in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty God. So creating this habitation is what forms habit, practice, or tendency in life. Under the shadow is living under the influence. Have you ever driven a car under the influence? Only four of you. Okay, have you ever tried to dance on the club floor under the influence and made a fool out of yourself? Don't answer that. We've got video. Living under the influence of alcohol or drugs or even anger will create habit or tendencies that define the influencing force over your life. For example, if I'm angry, and I'm really angry, and I get in my car, how many know that I could drive under the influence of anger? Caution to the wind. I don't care if there's a cop down there. I'm proving to somebody that I'm upset. Or, even though you've got to fix the door jamb, at the moment, you really don't care. You're going to slam that door, boom! and let everybody know you're under the influence of unhappy. Living under the shadow of the Almighty is that we are under the influence of the Father. The Father is casting influence, casting a shadow over our lives, and it creates that place where we dwell of that influence, creates in us habits, practices, tendencies. In other words, we do life based on the influence that's over us. So I relate to you now based on the influence of my Father. Therefore, a couple of weeks ago, I shared with you that I had to send a nice fruit basket to a particular individual who did not respond when I told them their plumbing stunk. And I had to re-plumb it and cost me a bunch of money. Remember that story? All right, it's real easy to say that when you're preaching. Then I had to go back and do it. I got out from under the influence of the Father, and I thought, I am not doing this. Have you ever done that? Then you get back into the influence, you go, oh, I'm sorry, Jesus, I'm going to do it. The problem with the influence of the shadow is that you can dart the shadow. You can leave the secret place. But notice what the psalmist said. He who dwells, he who creates a habitation, he who sets up his lifestyle, he who hangs out, he who marries, he who walks in covenant, he who stays in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow. And so I'm praying and I'm walking and I'm praying. And I said, Lord, I'm going to do it today. I'm going to send it today. What do I put on the card? Here's a fruit basket. You ought to be glad I'm saved. No, that won't work. I got out from under the influence. I mean, that quick. You know, you just kind of get, your jaw gets, you know what I mean? It's just so easy. I thought, no, I'm not going to do that. Bless those who persecute you, pray for those who despitefully use you for my name's sake, for great shall be your reward in heaven. Oh, bless. We bless you and we pray for you in Jesus' name. Is that okay, God? He said, that's good. That's what I would say. He said, actually, that's what I said. So now you're under the influence. So I get online and I'm looking for the cheapest fruit basket. I'm serious. I got out from under the influence of God. I'm under the influence of cheapskate now, man. I'm like, I just cost me $1,000 for this. No, I'm not. So I get, it's like $29.95. It's got two oranges, an apple, and a banana in it. So I got back under the influence, and I looked over to the right, a couple of options down. It was $79.99. Had cheese in it. It had all kind of good. God said, let's send him that one. Getting out from under the influence. How many know that's what we do? We're like in and out. When it's convenient, oh, hallelujah. When it's not, it's like, no, I ain't doing that. Habitat. Dwelling under the influence of the Father. So I said, Tina, I found a couple of baskets. What do you think? She goes, well, what do you think we ought to do? I said, no, I'm asking you, what should we do? She goes, what are the options? You know which one she said. The one that I thought we should do all along, the $79.99 one. So I choose that one, get online, I do it. And the next screen pops up from this company, whatever, online company. It says, congratulations, you've qualified for $14.95 discount. I went, see, when you live under the influence, you live right, you love everybody, you pray hard, God's got your back. Come on. Isn't that good? Man, I was like cheating the whole way, you know. But God bless me. And so I got online and I sent it, and it went off, and you know, you could track your order. So I'm tracking to see if it got there, didn't get there. Finally, it said, "Your order's been delivered." I'm like, wow, well, maybe I'll get a call. No call. Well, maybe an email that said, "Hey, thank you for thinking of us. That was so nice of you, so Christian of you." No email. So a whole week went by. Crickets, crickets. And I said, "Lord, I want to hear something." And he said to me in plain Holy Ghost language, "Why?" And I said, "Don't ask me why. I want to ask you a question, though. Did you come to church this morning under the influence of the Father? Or did you come to church this morning under the influence of your earthly father?" There's two fathers that are influencing us. And we have to make a decision. You get what I'm saying? Watch this. The shadow of the Almighty is the influence of your heavenly Father. Where one dwells determines our practice and our tendencies. But it's the Father's desire that you and I live in the secret place. Everybody say, secret place. Now, when something's a secret, nobody knows about it. But in order for you to get there, you're going to have to know where the secret is. If it's a secret and there's a place, you're going to have to know how to get there. It really is in the presence of the Almighty. So it's His desire. Look at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 6. And I won't keep it long, but I want you to read this scripture with me. I have a few others as well. Let's read it together. Ready? "And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Where we sit. Some of you sit in the exact same seats every Sunday. And when I'm not here, I look online and I look at your seat and I'm going, "Oh, they're not there." I don't expect that because you're not in your seat that you're over there, because you have a seat. A lot of us have seats in our home. We always sit in the same place. We had this couch and it was breaking down. And, you know, the cushions. And because I always sit on the one side, and Tina said, "You have to move." I said, "Why?" She said, "Because we need to balance this out. Can you sit in the middle?" I said, "I can't sit in the middle." Isn't that stupid? I mean, that is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. I'm like, "I can't sit in the middle." She goes, "You have to. We have to sit in the middle." Okay. So I go to sit down on the couch, and I'm ready to sit on my end. I'm like, "Whoa, whoa." Sit in the middle. But we always have a place of sitting is a place of dwelling. Where you spend your most time will result in creating the most influence. Where you spend time will create influence, or the most overpowering influence in your life. If you're going out clubbing every Friday and Saturday, then that sitting, that dwelling, that place is going to influence you because of the culture of where you're sitting will create influence in your life. And it's real easy for us to be overcome by that culture, because influence is powerful. Ask Adam when you get to heaven. "Hey, Adam, what about influence?" "Oh, I wish I would have never been influenced by that woman. Just influence. Oh, look, Adam, this is amazing. God said not to eat of it, but oh, yummy, yummy, yummy. Would you like a bite? He's like, yes. Influence. Gang warfare. Influence. Political affiliation. Influence. Educational hierarchy. Influence. Cultures. Influence. You follow what I'm saying? And so as we're influenced, it brings to us practice and tendency of that influence. We become now part of the culture of the influence that has overshadowed us. Now, when I was a younger preacher, I met Dr. Lester Summerall, and it was the greatest meeting in my life. He was an apostle, faith man that traveled the world. At age 17, headed for China, with $1.25 in his pocket and knew no one because God said to go preach. When I would go to his meetings, and he had become world-renowned by the time I met him, I traveled with him for 13 years. I don't know what happened, but I had a chance to meet him, and he started to like me. So I would walk into a 3,000-seat auditorium, packed, and I would sit down, and suddenly an usher would tap on my shoulder, and I'd say, yeah. He said, Dr. Summerall has asked me to usher you to a seat next to him. And I'm like, okay. Because I'm way in the back. So I'd get up, and in front of everybody, and there's the preachers galore in this meeting, right? There's all the preachers that want to sit there are watching me come from the back, go, yeah, that's right, he called me, that's right. No, I didn't do that. I felt really self-conscious. I'm like, no. He said, no, Dr. Summerall. Okay. So I'd sit down next to him. He put his hand on my knee. And he said, I'm glad you're here. And then never say another word. Well, after the service was over, knew he remembers these days, they would have preacher dinners. So the service goes to 10, 11 o'clock. Then afterwards, all the preachers would go in his private quarters, probably 100 or more, and have a dinner. So we're eating dinner at 11 o'clock at night. That's not really a good idea. But Dr. Summerall would have a round table where he would sit, and if his speaker that night was Dr. Oral Roberts and his wife would be sitting there. Rod Parsley would be sitting there. And Dr. Summerall, and I'm sitting at one of the random tables, and suddenly I get a tap on my shoulder. And the usher said, Dr. Summerall would like for you to sit with him at his table. I'm like, I can't do that. This is very embarrassing. And so I would get up, walk in front of all those pastors, and I'm like, he called me. He called me. And I would sit down and have dinner next to Dr. Summerall with Dr. Oral Roberts and with Rod Parsley and whoever else was there, and little old me. Now, I say all that to you because the secret place is only by invitation. There's a whole lot of people in here that may never get there. Not because you don't want to, because the usher taps you on the shoulder and you ignore the invitation. for whatever reason, I told you I had my reasons, I had my difficulties. After a while, after I got used to it, I would never presume to sit there. When I came to the camp meeting or came to the service and Dr. Summerall was in the front, I never went up there and go, that's my seat. I would always sit in the back or sit off to the side or wherever I could find a seat, and invariably, his ushers would come, tap me on the shoulder, and bring me to the seat. But I was no way I was going to presume that I belonged there. In the presence of God, he who dwells, he who sits, he who creates a habitation in the presence of Dr. Summerall, the presence of Almighty God, shall abide under the influence. Now, let me tell you something. The conversations at Doc's table were a whole lot different than the conversations at average preacher's table. Now, I didn't have much to contribute, but I sure was being influenced. They were talking about feeding nations. They were talking about seed faith. They were talking about raising the dead. They were talking about buying airplanes and taking food to famine areas. They were talking about these great feats of owning TV stations and broadcasting the gospel. And I'm sitting there going, whoa, this is like way too much for me. But then I'm being influenced. I'm being influenced. And Dr. Summerall looked over at me one day and he said, I want you to come to our studio so I can show you how we do TV. I'm like, sure. And I told you that story. I ended up coming. I get to the front office. The receptionist, tell him who I was. Dr. Summerall called me. I'm supposed to be here for the taping today. And they looked on the sheet and said, I'm sorry, we don't have your name on record. We can't let you in. I'm like, I just drove almost 4.5, 5 hours to get here. And Dr. Summerall told me I can come. And I'm sorry, sir, you can't come. You can't come in. So I walked back out, Tina and I, into the car, went back to the hotel. I'm like, I can't believe this. I got invited, and then some receptionist didn't have me on their list and turned me away. You know, sometimes when you get invited by the Holy Spirit into the secret place and you're on your way there, something, someone, some situation will try to interrupt your connection to your appointed seat, your appointed moment in the presence of God. And you have to be careful that you don't lose your faith. I lost my faith. I went back to the hotel. I said, we're leaving. We're driving back. I can't believe that they did this to me. He did invite me. Maybe something went wrong. And Tina said, I hate when she does this.
All things work together for those that love God and are called according to his purpose.
I said, I don't like it when you quote scripture to me when I'm mad, when I'm out from under the influence. Stop it! It wasn't a half hour later, the phone rings. It's Dr. Summerall's personal secretary. Oh my goodness. Can you ever forgive Dr. Summerall? For what? He found out that the receptionist turned you away after he invited you. He wants to make it up to you. He wants you to come back tomorrow. Tell him I forgive him. I didn't say that. I took the high road. Oh, it's okay. We get there the next day, and not only for an hour taping, but I spent the entire day with him. He gave me opportunity to be on camera, gave me an opportunity to share in the TV program. He was trying to make up for what was stolen. Hear me now. If you get to the secret, the Holy Ghost is saying, Jesus wants you to come sit next to him. Jesus wants you to dwell in his presence. and you're on your way there, and something happens, a breakdown, a physical health problem, financial, people get ugly on you, situations occur, and you think, oh, I can't believe it. And you never get to the secret place, and you go away disgusted, and you go away angry, and you go away disappointed. And then suddenly there's another knock, there's a phone call, there's a text message, and it's Jesus saying, I missed you, I looked for you, I understand that it was a bummer yesterday, but if you'll come today, I'm going to make it up to you, and I'm going to bless you, and you won't be able to handle it. You see, the secret place is your personal space of intimacy with God. It's your personal space of intimacy with God. When you and I choose to live under the influence, some powerful things take place. And I don't have a lot of time here this morning to really disclose a little more in depth, and perhaps next time I'll be able to share it with you, but when you go to the secret place, it creates habitation. Creates habitation. For example, I'll just give you one. Colossians 3:1 says, to seek those things above where Christ sits. Christ is not Jesus' last name. It's the anointed and the anointed one, the anointing. So where you sit, there, when the secret place, there is the anointing. So when you choose to go to the secret place, you are entering in to the full measure of the anointing on Jesus. It's a very, very powerful truth. But let me get back to that on another time. Let me just say this. Live under the influence. One of my prayers every day is, I pray for my family, pray for them by name, peace, prosperity, and health. Those that are married, I say, pray unity in their marriage, a God encounter, and abstain from all forms of evil. I decree and declare that. I decree and declare over my grandchildren the same thing, peace, prosperity, and health. Abstain from all forms of evil. I pray a blessing that they would have a Jesus encounter today. I don't care if it's Riley at 3 months old or if it's Pastor Dominic at 25 years old. And then I call their spouse in that aren't married. I say, Father, I thank you that Caden is going to meet a godly woman and I'm going to go to the wedding. You ever go to those weddings when the great-grandfathers and the grandfathers come in? They give them those funky boutonnieres. You wear the suit that's too big for you and you come walking in. They usher you in, you know. You ever see that at the weddings? They usher you in. And they put you way at the end. They put you way at the end down here. It's like, you know, don't appease me. You want me at your wedding, put me front and center, all right? But I declare that, and the reason for that is because I believe that influence is absolutely vital. Say with me, influence is vital. Do you know you can influence in the spiritual realm over your family and children? You can bring influence into them. The presence of God can erupt into their life and they don't even know why. And then they tell you about this great encounter they had with Jesus and you go, that's amazing. That's awesome. Oh, you met? Oh, I'm so glad you met her. She looks like a good girl. You don't have to reveal. You just have to know. Look at someone and say, have influence. Now I'm going to close with this, and it's going to be hard, but I'm going to try. Living under the shadow of the Almighty. Do you know the Holy of Holies? Take me past the brazen altar into the holy place. I want to see your face. Right, that old song? Take me into the holy of holies. Remember that song? Yeah. Did you know in the holy of holies, there's the mercy seat? What's over the mercy seat? The cherubim. The cherubim are covering the mercy seat. The mercy seat represents Jesus, okay, the blood, right? And it covers the ark of the covenant. But notice the cherubim cast a shadow on the mercy seat. The glory of the Lord fills the holy place. Right? And the cherubim cast the shadow on salvation. The influence of the Father, give me cold chills right here. The influence of the Father on the blood. So when you dwell in the secret place of the Most High and under the shadow of the Almighty, it represents the shadow over the Ark of the Covenant. Everybody say Ark. Now, I didn't bring out my old slides of the picture of the Ark, but if you've never seen it, there were three possessions inside the Ark that was in the presence of the Lord under the shadow. Do you remember what those were? Number one was Aaron's rod that budded. Now, why is that important? If you don't know that story, it was a stick, and they laid it against other sticks, and the next morning, Aaron's stick had full buds and fruit on it, and it wasn't attached to a root system. It was under the influence. It's in there. The second thing is a pot. No, not medical marijuana. Not marijuana. Pot of manna. How many know what manna was? Let me see your hand if you know what manna was, okay? Most of you do. The bread that was in the wilderness, right? A pot of it. Interestingly, how long did the manna last in the wilderness? 24 hours. How long did the manna last in the Ark of the Covenant? Why? Under the influence. It's a powerful truth here. We'll talk more about it next time. But in the natural, things that tend to break down, wear out, and die, when they're under the influence, can live a lot longer. Amen. You follow what I'm saying? The things that you thought were dead, can literally blossom in the morning. I'm going to ask for a permission. Can I hold Riley and just finish preaching with her? Thanks. She might throw up on me, but that's all right. And the reason why I want to do that is so you'll pay attention. No, some time ago the Lord spoke to me and said, well, that's your blinky. Or bubub, or what do you call those things? Pacifier. Oh boy, what a novel name. And that's why I asked the girls to come up and help me take the offering, is give them your influence from the platform. I said, okay. So if they'll come, then I'll bring them up here. They could take the offering, say something, not. Or Riley, my great-granddaughter, who loves me so much, just... She's so, like, at peace right now, isn't she? Is she sleeping? No. Of course not. She's in love. Is influence of this anointing and presentation of the Word of God. I know she's over there, but she's here now. She's closer to the shadow. You follow what I'm saying? How close to the shadow do you want to be?
Do you want to be in the house and be able to see the baby, or do you want to hold the baby? How many of you women know when you see a baby, you want to hold that baby? What is with you girls? It's like, oh, can I hold her? Sure. And we guys were like, yeah, here, take her. Right? Don't we do that? We're like, yeah, go ahead, take her. There's something maternal that says, if I can hold her, we can connect on a deeper level. And God's saying, if I can just hold you, we can connect on a deeper level. So I want you to get a little closer today. I want you to snuggle up in Papa God's arms today. And you see, the third item were the stone tablets. Now be careful that you don't interpret the law as something that's negative, because it represented the Word of God. The manna represented revelation. The law represented restoration. God can take disorder and with one word bring order to your life. Whew. Whew, God. The rod that budded is the power, the resurrection power of God. You say, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do. God said, I do. If you'll come under the presence of my shadow, I will make you blossom. That'd be a good place right there just to close your eyes and lift your hand to Jesus for a moment. And just thank Him. And ask yourself this. Why am I sitting where I've been sitting? I want you to look at me for a minute. There were four lepers. There was famine in the land. They were dying. And they looked at each other after they thought about going into the enemy's camp. And they said, why should we sit here? There it is. Why are we sitting here until we die? Can I tell you that if you're not going to the secret place, you're on a fast track to death. Some of us have to make a change in our life. We have to declare, you know what? I'm not sitting here anymore. I'm going to go into the secret place of the Most High. I'm going to take my life like I'm taking little Riley, and I'm going to put my life in the Father's hands. You know how hard it is for a mother and father to entrust their baby to someone? Man, it's not easy. Not anybody can watch my baby. Not anybody can even hold her. I'm not real sure you're going to sit. You're going to hold them when you sit. You can't be walking around with my baby. And you're going to have to say, Father, take my life, and I trust you. I trust you with my life, Father, and I'm going to dwell in your presence. If you haven't asked yourself why you've been sitting in a place outside of the influence of the shadow, then for Jesus' sake, somebody please ask you. Somebody, please ask someone around here why sit there till you die. Why? We're going into the enemy's camp. taking back everything he stole from us. This is a day of restoration, church. This is a day of promise. It is for you and it's for me. I've got two words I have to give. The Lord gave me this past week. Just a little emotional because I see this in so many who refuse the invitation. Don't do that. Here's the first word. Some of you have gone through some really difficult times in your life, man. I mean, hurt, disappointment, rejection. I don't know if there could be any more cruel thing in the world than someone to not get the love that they deserve from the people that should be giving you. That's got to be the most painful thing in the world. Someone that hurt you and walked out on you, man, it's just terrible. I mean, it just doesn't go away. And here's the word. You might not be able to get over it, but you can get past it. You can get past it. If you'll just get up and go to the holy place. Second word. God has something with your name on it. And some of you have been wondering because it's been a long time, like, God, where is it at? You promised me and it hasn't happened. And this is what the Lord gave me. He said, what has your name on it is not going to anyone else. Because it belongs to you. Not going to anybody else. God has reserved that for you. So just get up and go get it in the presence of Almighty God. I don't know what you have in your heart, but you ought to sing right there. That'd be a great time. Because I think we need to ask the Holy Spirit to just make this real into our lives. Gosh, Abby, you're amazing.
Thanks.
You have your own anointing, believe me. But I want to tell you this morning, I heard your mama singing this morning. There was a moment when you began to sing, and I'm like, oh, that was mama. You know why? It's called influence. It's called influence. Don't take it lightly, church. We're a generation that can influence this nation, this city, leaders, families, children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. That's who we are. Influencers. You just close your eyes, lead us in worship. Go ahead. Pastor Dominic's going to come and close the service. I've got to get out to the next service, but
for
man, I'm blessed to be with you.
Word,
love y'all.
You were singing over me. You have been so, so good to me.
Bye, guys.
Please, can we all stand? I'm going to ask the altar ministers to come forward. Wow. Wow. If that's you today, if that's you today, I want you to just come. Whether you just want to receive prayer or whether you just want to worship. Maybe if you could, altar ministers, maybe push to the side so that the altars are open. But I want to invite you this morning to come up and receive healing, to be able to move past and get past those broken and hurting places in your life. So if you can, let's just all lift our hands across this room. Let's just worship him for a few minutes. Jesus, you're so worthy. Yes, Jesus.
Before I spoke a word, you were singing over me. You have been so, so good to me. Before I breathe a breath, you breathe your life in me. You have been so, so kind to me. And oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. How it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99, and I couldn't earn it. And I don't deserve it. Still you gave yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never ending, reckless love of God.
If you're here this morning and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, you don't know Jesus is your personal Lord and Savior, today's the day. Today is the day for that. And if you're here and you don't know how good He is, the Bible says, taste and see. Taste and see. You can dwell in that shadow this morning. All the pain, all the hurt, all of life's difficulties just melts away with Him. He's so good. He's so good. And so if that's you this morning, I just want to encourage you to come forward, receive prayer, give your heart to Jesus. Don't leave here not knowing if you're going to heaven or hell this morning. Don't leave here not knowing if you're not sure. And so as we continue to worship, I want to take advantage of this atmosphere in this moment, but as we continue to worship, as Pastor was saying earlier, we have red rocks that we want to give out this morning. And many people might just look at this and just be like, oh, there's just some rocks. But this is a symbol of the blood of Jesus. And a symbol of us saying, you know what? We're going to do something about the fact that not everyone around me knows about Jesus. I'm going to do something about the fact that my neighbor doesn't know the Lord. And so this morning, I'm going to lay this basket here on this altar. And I want to encourage you. Now, there's only 12, so I want to encourage you to come and get one. Come and pick one up. And what I'm going to ask you to do is this week, go and plant this somewhere in your community. And I'm going to ask you to do something. If you're one of the 12 that gets one of these rocks, you take it home, you take it to a place and you plant it, but you pick up another rock, you paint that one red, and you write exactly what's on here. And you come next Sunday and have that red rock with you. And we're going to pass it on to somebody else this next Sunday. And so if you don't get a red rock today, if you don't get one this morning, it's okay. There's a table in the back and it has this paper, this sticker on it. It has all the information. So I encourage you, stop by that table, grab a couple of stickers, go home and make your own rock and pass it out. Let's plant it. Let's cover this region in red rocks. Amen. So we're going to continue worshiping, and I'm going to lay this basket right here. And I'm going to ask, come on in, come on ahead. As we worship, come on and grab a rock. If you don't get one, again, don't freak out too much. You can grab a paper and make your own rock, but come on forward, grab a rock. I want to continue worshiping and continue praying, but, you know, if you have to go, I get that. So live right, love everyone, and pray hard. We're going to continue worshiping here for a little bit, but I love every one of you. Have a great week.